Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Fox 2 presents Hancock and Kelly.
Good Sunday morning to you, and welcome to Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2, where we take on the top issues of the week. On the right is John Hancock.
Junior.
A different John Hancock. John Hancock Jr. from the Bulldog Newsletter. Thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here, Andy.
Filling in for Dad, right?
Absolutely.
On the left, Michael Kelly.
Hey, hey. Happy Sunday.
Hey. I'm Andy Banker. On the agenda this morning, the stark contrast among St. Louis Board of Aldermen President Megan Green, St. Louis Congresswoman Cori Bush, and New York Mayor Eric Adams on the issue of pro-Palestinian protests. Fred Bird drops off signatures to put an issue on the Missouri ballot. An exclusive new poll from Emerson College in the Hill gives former President Donald Trump a clean sweep over President Biden in 7 swing states. And our quote of the week is from the latest inductee into the Hall of Famous Missourians at the state capitol, not a politician, but a basketball coach known as Stormin Norman. Also, former President Trump pays a price for violating a gag order, and Illinois Democrats propose a law, pass it, and have the governor sign it in less than a day. Is it all to help a St. Louis area Democrat win re-election? But we begin with protesters vandalizing and setting up camps across college campuses in America. St. Louis Aldermanic President Megan Green spent much of the week ripping Washington University in St. Louis for stamping out a temp camp protest here.
This rally was asking Washington University to divest from the military-industrial complex that is funding the genocide in Gaza. And we cannot lose sight of that.
Green was among the protesters last weekend. Protesters claimed to be rallying behind Palestinians suffering in Gaza under Israel's military response to the October 7th terror attack from Hamas. But Hamas is still holding more than 130 hostages taken from Israel that day, including Americans. Hamas terrorists continue to hide in Gaza with those hostages. Michael, Green and Democrats continue to repeat the claim of genocide in Gaza, as if that is accepted fact by everyone. She also says WashU unjustly ran off peaceful protesters. Is Israel really conducting genocide in Gaza, and was WashU too heavy-handed?
I think Megan Green ran for the wrong office. She's supposed to be the president of the Board of Aldermen. And she's out protesting, leading organized things, put her own personal job in jeopardy at Washington University to protest what's going on in Gaza and the atrocities that exist there and the death and killing. She's the president of the Board of Aldermen. There's a place where she can have an impact on death and killing. And I've not seen this much of Megan Green. It's unbelievable, and the anti-Semitism that's running through these protest is unbelievable, and why an elected official would want to be associated with that's beyond me. And does Megan Green not know who the second largest employer in the state of Missouri is? It'd be Boeing, right here in St. Louis. Many of her constituents' lives and jobs come from that. Boeing's invested in Washington University. They've helped grow and make this community great, and it's not just weapons of war that they make. So I'm confused as to what Megan Green wants to be. And if she wants to stand for St. Louis or she wants to run for a higher office, I wish she'd get to it.
Same questions for you. Yeah. Is there a genocide, and was WashU too heavy-handed? There were protests at St. Louis U, too. Not quite as eventful, I guess you could say.
So, Andy, I'm glad you mentioned the hostages that Hamas still has in their control. These protesters are not saying anything about those hostages or anything else with Hamas, who's using the people of Gaza as a shield for these Israeli attacks. And Michael hit it head on. Are you going to be an elected official or are you going to be an activist? I mean, these protests are causing damage throughout the country. You look at the violence at UCLA. We saw WashU, what happened, 100 people arrested, 25 people only associated with the university, the vast majority no ties to WashU. These are professional protesters coming in. You go back to Occupy Wall Street, there's a group, a subsection, no matter the cause, they're coming out to stir up trouble and cause dissension.
The police are clearing out a tent camp at University of Southern California as we speak. And St. Louis Congresswoman Cori Bush is making allegations of police brutality as more and more universities like USC take action to end tent camp protests across the United States. She says the recent wave of police violence, student suspensions, and arrests is intended to suppress dissent by all those who dare speak out for Palestinian human rights. Now, contrast her view with that of fellow Democrat, New York Mayor Eric Adams. Adams took a stand with police as they removed a tent camp protest at Columbia University in the past week. Protesters had actually taken over a building on campus and replaced the American flag with the Palestinian flag.
My uncle died defending this country. And these men and women put their lives on the line. And it's despicable that schools will allow another country flag to fly in our country. So blame me for being proud to be an American. And I thank Commissioner Daughtry for putting that flag back up. We're not surrendering our way of life to anyone.
One of the student protest leaders at Columbia has repeatedly stated, Zionist Jews have no right to live. Mayor Adams says agents of terror are actually infiltrating these protests and training students. One of Congresswoman Bush's more prominent supporters, as part of the protest in St. Louis in recent days, has said in the past that he wanted to set Israel on fire and watch Israelis burn. He has since disavowed those anti-Semitic comments of his past. Michael, where's President Biden in all of this? Is he with Mayor Adams or is he with Cori Bush, AOC, Rashida Tlaib?
This is not only what's going on between the Israeli-Gaza conflict, this diverse thought opinion we're seeing. It's also what the Democratic Party is dealing with across the board. This progressive thought process led by a Cori Bush or Mayor Adams, who ran on law and order and let's get back to doing the jobs of basic government. As it relates to President Biden, I think he's exactly where the American people are. He's had 50 years of record where he has said he is a strong ally of Israel and continues to show it. At the same time, over the last month, he said, hey, the death and destruction that's going on in Gaza is too much. It needs to be dealt, and we need to recalibrate. And his public policy experts are starting to make some changes, getting Israel to listen to us, and we're starting to make some change. I think that's where the president has to be, standing by your principles, standing for what we as Americans would like to see happen, but at the same time, trying to find some way to bring peace to our world.
My question is, when it comes to these protests, should President Biden sound a little bit more like Mayor Eric Adams?
Absolutely, and I have to give credit to Mayor Adams. He was spot on with his message. We have to defend the flag. He mentioned his uncle who died for this country. And when you desecrate the flag, you're putting, you know, all, you're taking advantage of all those lives who have been lost serving this country. And Joe Biden is trying to play in the middle. He's trying to have it both ways here. He's trying to appease the far left while also trying to continue to defend Israel and say he's for peaceful protesting. But these protests have been anything but peaceful. And I think Joe Biden is doing a disservice to the country and honestly to his electoral chances by not striking a tone more similar to Eric Adams.
Signatures are pouring into Jefferson City in an effort to give Missouri voters a say on a lot more than just the next president and governor. That includes sports betting. Mascots from the Cardinals, the Blues, and Kansas City Royals helped wheel in boxes of signatures to legalize sports betting. It just cracks me up.
Right?
There's Louie and Fred Bird bringing in the signatures. Oh. There's also a measure to boost the state's minimum wage to $15 an hour over the next couple of years. That will likely hit the ballot. Same goes for a referendum on reinstating abortion rights. They have more than enough signatures to put that on the ballot. John, is this the way it's supposed to work, and which of these is most likely to pass?
Yeah, so it is the direct democracy that I know some on the Republican side are having an issue with right now, but this is the way the Constitution exists today, and that's the way it is. Of these, I think sports betting is probably the most likely to pass. That's an income generator for the state. We don't have it, unlike our neighbors in Kansas and Illinois. I think that's by far the most likely of these to pass.
What do you think? And how do these impact the other votes? Well, you know what I mean? Abortion exactly. could really play a big role in who gets elected and wins in some of the other races.
Missourians
right?
have elected a very conservative group of folks to go to Jefferson City, and some of us even believe it to be extremist with their policies. And as a result, you're having to see citizens go to the ballot to get simple things that are being passed in other places. Raises in the minimum wage, legalization of marijuana, now the sports betting, paid sick days. So many things are going to the ballot to push back at this extremism. Is this how it should work? Probably not. But this is how it's going to work in a state that has this extreme thought process. All three of them will pass. All three of them help Democrats.
Claims of dirty pool as Democrats in Illinois, lawmakers at the Illinois legislature, and Governor J.B. Pritzker sneak through an election law in less than 24 hours to protect one of their own. Republicans think they can oust Democrat State Rep. Katie Stewart of Edwardsville, but no one signed up to run against her, so the Republican Party was going to appoint a candidate to run. The Democrat supermajority rushed a bill through the entire legislative process in a matter of hours to ban parties from appointing candidates, but only in races for the state legislature. Stewart's ally, Democrat Jay Hoffman of St. Clair County, helped orchestrate the move. Michael, is this how things are supposed to be done?
Well, to the victor goes the spoils. It's probably not the way that you want it to operate most of the time, but they're under a time constraint. We got an election happening here in November, Andy. I don't blame them for wanting to get it done. And if you're the Democrats, that's what this is all about. Trust me, I'm on the receiving end of it in my state.
We're in the middle of an election, and they changed the rules at the 11th hour. Four Democrats did vote against this in Illinois, and they said it was because it's a blatant misuse of justice, changing the rules when we're this late in the game of the election. It was pure an act of self-preservation by the Democrats, and the machine over there is still well-oiled and running smoothly.
To do it in less than a day. That's kind of old school.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Government never works that quick.
Land of Lincoln. Up next, Hancock and Kelly. On Hancock and Kelly, I should say. Donald Trump pays the price for violating a gag order, but he's also soaring in polls.
Listen to the podcast. Just search for Hancock and Kelly.
In spite of his legal troubles, our exclusive new poll from Emerson College in the Hill shows former President Trump sweeping seven swing states, likely to decide the 2024 presidential election in November. Trump, the Republican, leads President Biden, the Democrat, in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Now, most of the leads are within the 3% margin of error. However, when independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy is added, Mr. Trump's lead expands beyond the margin of error in every state but Michigan. John, a new Rasmussen poll also shows Donald Trump leading by 12 points in a three-way race nationwide.
It's starting to feel a little bit like shades of 2016, where there's a disconnect between the left wing and the mainstream Democrats. And that discrepancy could lead to a depressed turnout at the polls. And I think with these trials are helping Donald Trump, it's being perceived, Michael, we can agree to disagree on the trials, but it's being perceived by many to be political persecution. And I'd be very concerned if I was Joe Biden looking at these polls, Donald Trump winning in every swing state.
How concerned should Joe Biden be? I mean, there's an undeniable Trump surge,
yeah,
correct?
Absolutely. Should be concerned. You're 9 months away from an election and you've got those types of numbers in every one of the battleground states. Biggest questions here. Will Robert Kennedy be on those in the ballot in those states? That's still to be determined in many of them. Number two, it has to be a binary choice. President Biden has to help people remember shades of 2018, the chaos that ensued for the 4 years of the Trump presidency. Do people want to go back to a president who wakes up and has a knee-jerk reaction, or do they want a president who's going to be stable and leading with common sense? That's what Joe Biden's got to be able to do over the next several months. I think he's starting to do it with his public appearances and coming out and taking on what the Republicans are saying. He's old. He's senile. He's showing up. He's doing interviews. He's committed to a debate. Donald Trump, well, he's in court.
So I think the stability of Joe Biden is a mirage, and it seems to be more of a liberal fantasy. We're looking at chaos across the globe, Russia and Ukraine, the Middle East. We have inflation out of control. The fact that Donald Trump brings chaos, we're living in a chaotic world, as it is with President Biden. You can't run on law and order or keeping things in check for Joe Biden, and I think that's why Donald Trump is surging in these polls.
Good one. That was a good comeback. But at the end of the day, it's Donald Trump who's helped create this Russia-Ukraine problem we have. If he is elected president of the United States, Russia won't be stopping at Ukraine. It'll be going into Poland and other allies.
And Moldova, I agree there. Got to defend Ukraine.
Wow. You're nice to the young one.
He's nice, too.
His dad's going to let you know about that. The judge in Mr. Trump's ongoing criminal trial in New York has ordered him to pay $9,000 and threatened him with jail time for violating a gag order in the case. The former president later railed against the case during a campaign event.
There's no crime. I have a crooked judge. He's a totally conflicted judge. And I come, you know, it's unfortunately, it's a 95% or so Democrat area. Other than that, things are wonderful.
Well, here's the thing. None of what he just said violates the gag order. The former president knows that. The order forbids him from blasting and possibly intimidating witnesses in the case, in which he is accused of illegally disguising hush money payments to alleged mistresses to help him win the 2016 election. So the remarks we just heard may be a sign the judge has gotten his point across to the former president, Michael, actually, because he stayed away from the potential witnesses. He's allowed to rip the judge all he wants.
Good luck with that. That was last week. Anything can happen with Donald Trump at any moment. He can expand, he can squeeze, he can whatever. He shows us on a daily basis why he is not prepared and not the appropriate person to be leading the entire free world. And he's going to be spending his entire campaign season in courtrooms.
Do you think he's worried about the specter of jail time? Is that hanging over him, or is he?
I don't think he's worried about jail time, especially in this case. I mean, we can talk about the gag order instead of the case. I think.
Well, I mean jail time for violating the gag order.
No, absolutely not. I think that would be a political win for him. And the gag order just completely ignores the reality that Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president. You got Michael Cohen going live on TikTok every night, just slamming Trump, talking about the case, and they've taken away Trump's right to respond. It's not.
You got a guy selling tennis shoes. It's an alternate universe we're living in these days. Welcome to the NFL. I mean, this is the world Donald Trump created. He's going to live with the consequences of it.
Still to come on Hancock and Kelly, as Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene worn out her welcome with fellow Republicans as she seeks another ouster of the Speaker of the House. And our quote of the week is from a Mizzou legend, now enshrined at the state capitol. One of the biggest stories of the upcoming week may be the clash between Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia and Republican Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Greene says she will force her colleagues to vote on ousting Johnson. A group of Democrats is likely to support him, forcing Republicans to either join those Democrats or side with Greene, their fellow Republican. She's become particularly incensed after Johnson supported Democrats in pushing through aid to Ukraine. John, which of these two is going to get kicked to the curb?
So I think it has to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mike Johnson reached across the aisle, worked with the Democrats to pass the aid package, Chuck Schumer, McConnell in the Senate. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, she'll have a few allies, but it's going to be the same group of whiners who like to stamp their feet and not govern.
Where's the party? Are they more with Johnson or with Greene?
I think the party is much more with Johnson, but I guess we'll find out.
Michael?
I don't care. I know the Democratic Party is talking about saving Mike Johnson. I don't see why. I think it's important that the American people know that the Republican Party has lost its mind. Marjorie Taylor Greene is not a unique instance. There's a couple hundred of them.
Our quote of the week is from a non-politician receiving a forever honor from politicians at the Missouri State Capitol.
Please join me in welcoming Norm Stewart to the Hall of Famous Missourians.
He liked the hair on the on the bronze bust. 89-year-old legendary Mizzou basketball coach Norm Stewart was inducted into the Hall of Famous Missourians. He's among the top 30 winningest coaches ever in college hoops, coaching Mizzou to 8 conference titles, 16 NCAA tournament appearances in 32 seasons from 1967 to 1999. Our quote is from the last line of his induction speech on the floor of the House of Representatives. He said, if you're ever driving, you see a fence post, you see a turtle on top of the fence post, you can bet your sweet Bippy he didn't get there by himself. Either did I. He hardly talked about basketball in his speech at all, Michael.
Boy, it brings back such great memories, right? That's when Mizzou dominated in basketball in the Big Eight. You know, it was the KU Mizzou times. That's what I grew up with. It was so much fun. Boy, do we miss them now after the season we just had. Good on Coach Norman. He deserves that.
Bet your sweet Bippy. Those are his words.
Absolutely.
You're a Mizzou guy, right?
I am. Mizzou alumni. He's a legend. Definitely deserves this honor. By far the winningest coach in Mizzou history.
Oh, yeah. It's not close. And I just like the normism there. I wanted to put that in the show today. You bet your sweet Bippy. He didn't get there by himself. Final thoughts are next. First, Bomarito.com Drone Fox up and under St. Louis Music Park. What a great place to see a concert that is. Final thoughts, we'll start with you, John.
Yeah, so on behalf of the St. Louis metro area, I would like to apologize to Jeff Albert, the former Cardinals hitting coach who was often criticized. Jeff, we're sorry. We're sorry. Come back if you want.
That apple didn't fall too far from the tree, did it?
That's right. Do you think about Snucker 24/7 too?
30 minutes at best.
Michael.
Yeah, my final thought is about a really great St. Louis and an even greater organization. Bill Seedorf, who's one of the true pioneers of public service in St. Louis, took me last night to a Nurses for Newborns event at the Chase Park Plaza. That is an organization that is truly doing God's work right here in St. Louis. Check them out online. If you've got a couple of bucks, throw them at them. Do it in honor of my guy, good guy, Bill Seedorf.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, John. And thank all of you for being with us this Sunday morning. Fox News Sunday is next. And remember, if it's Sunday in St. Louis, it's Hancock and Kelly, or Hancock Jr. and Kelly on Fox 2. We'll see you next week.